The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
Well, just another Friday night news dump, eh? Welcome into our first emergency podcast of the offseason, and it's a big one. Frank Stanfield joined by Scott White here on Friday night, December 2nd, and let's just jump right into it, Scotty. Jacob DeGrom, one of the most talented pitchers we have ever seen, is signing a five-year, $185 million deal that includes a sixth-year option with the Texas Rangers. He is leaving the New York Mets. He's not going to the Atlanta Braves. He will head out to the Texas Rangers. Massive deal here, Scott. We know how talented Jacob DeGrom is. Was looking into numbers since the start of 2018. Among qualified starting pitchers, Jacob DeGrom, first in ERA, second in whip, third in K per nine, first in swinging strike rate by far. Your initial reaction to one of the best pitchers heading to the Rangers?
Now, it's a big deal in baseball. The best pitcher of his generation, I would say, leaving the only organization he's ever known to this upstart that, you know, is trying to spin its way to contention. Of course, the Rangers paid big for Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, John Gray last offseason. And, you know, they're continuing to spend here with DeGrom. Obviously, a risky move. He's made a combined 26 starts the past two seasons. But, you know, that's kind of the, that's kind of more of a real world bombshell. For fantasy, you know, I always struggle with this because a lot of times the biggest moves that happen in the real world don't matter that much to a player's fantasy value. I mean, Jacob DeGrom, it still just comes down to, is he going to be healthy or not? If he is, he's going to be the best pitcher in fantasy, probably by a big margin. And if he's not, well, he'll be like what he's been the past two seasons, making 15 and 11 starts respectively. So, you know, if we want to do the whole thing where we're breaking down, okay, different venue, well, Globe Life Field and Citi Field rate pretty similarly as far as hitters versus pitchers go. Both leagues have the DH now, so him going to the NL from the NL to the AL, it's not really a big deal either. Yeah, I just, you know, we just gotta see if he's healthy. I mean, I don't know what more to say about it than that.
No, I think you're right, Scott. And look, when it comes to elite players, they're elite for a reason, right? They are the best, and they're going to be the best regardless of where they're playing. So I agree. It's, you know, maybe it's a slight park shift downgrade, but again, it doesn't matter. Jacob DeGrom is elite of the elite.
They are virtually the same.
Yep.
But even if they weren't, it's extraneous, right? Because like right. Jacob deGrom, he's just going to strike everybody out if he's healthy. So like it doesn't even really matter where he's playing.
Yeah, I guess the only one thing is perhaps he loses out on win potential, but the Mets have done a poor job of giving Jacob deGrom run support in years past anyway. For what it's worth, the Mets were fifth in runs scored this past season. The Rangers were 12th. Perhaps they, you know, continue to bolster their lineup. You know, maybe a full season of Josh Young can help that lineup as well. Again, I don't really know that there is much. I agree with you, Scott. From a fantasy perspective, I don't know that there is much to take away. Jacob deGrom is still amazing on a per inning basis. He is the best pitcher on the planet.
Yeah.
Just can he stay healthy, which is something you referenced. He has not pitched more than 100 innings. He hasn't pitched more than 94 innings in a regular season since 2019. Over the past three years, Jacob deGrom has missed time due to neck, lat, back, shoulder, forearm, and elbow issues. And we know this past season he missed majority of the time with that aforementioned shoulder injury. I guess the one thing I'll bring up here, Scott, is the early price tag. Again, there's, I think, been about 50 drafts done over at the NFBC so far to this point. The early ADP for Jacob deGrom is 38.4 as the eighth starting pitcher off the board. Probably sounds a little bit low for Jacob deGrom. Pitching has just been pushed down so far, especially elite starting pitchers. Seems like most people are thinking the same way we are, Scott, is that, you know, you want to lean into elite hitters early on and then you jump into pitching a little bit later. But eighth starting pitcher off the board just behind Spencer Strider and Shane McClanahan. Does that sound right to you?
More or less. I do have him a couple spots higher. So you said he's ahead of, who was it again?
He's just behind Spencer Strider and Shane McClanahan. He's Strider just ahead of Aaron Nola.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know. I'd prefer DeGrom to Strider. Like Strider hasn't proven his durability either.
Right.
And I understand, you know, he was great this past year. He wasn't DeGrom great. You know, he wasn't over the last five seasons a 2.05 ERA great. 0.87 whip, 12.2 K per nine. That's what DeGrom's done the past 5 years. So, and I understand, like, that's not the only thing we're evaluating DeGrom on. Like, we're he has to be available in order for those numbers to mean anything. And that's been an issue for him 2 years in a row. I don't hold 2020 against him so much because he still made 12 starts in the 60-game season. So, really, we're just talking about 2021, 2022, where that's been an issue for DeGrom. So, but that's more an issue, I think, of Strider's value maybe being inflated a bit rather than DeGrom being overly discounted. I think more or less it's the right spot. I think I'd take him over McClanahan too, because McClanahan had his own health issues at the end of the season and his stuff didn't seem right in September when he came back. So I feel like there's enough concerns there for McClanahan too, that I'll just take the, who I think is the better pitcher, and DeGrom. But yeah, roughly the right spot, that 6-7 range at starting pitcher.
Yeah, I think that makes sense too. Corbin Burns, Gerrit Cole, Sandy Alcantara, Brandon Woodruff. I have no problem with those names going ahead of Jacob deGrom. Dylan Cease is one that's also going ahead of him, but, you know, I guess you can save that conversation.
I mean, it is kind of a bigger conversation because Justin Verlander, there are a few relievers ahead of him, as well as Shohei Ohtani, who's, you know, more of a DH. But Justin Verlander is the 17th pitcher off the board on average, and he's my number one.
Yeah.
So I don't get just it. A little like that. It's such a crowded tier. That I think there's not going to be a lot of consensus within it. Mm-hmm. Hello is Scherzer. I mean, I know we're kind of getting off track here.
He's going a few spots after Verlander.
Even after Verlander. So clearly these old guys are being discounted, at least on this one platform.
Right. Which is all we have to
61 drafts in.
Yeah. Which is all we have to judge on so far. So,
right.
Yeah. I guess, look, this doesn't really matter from a fantasy perspective, Scott, but any quick thoughts on the contract? Because I was really surprised here. Jacob deGrom at 33 years old, maybe 34, turning 34, able to land a 5-year deal. I think a lot of people, me included, I expected, you know, 3, maybe 4 years max, very high AAV, maybe around $40 million, up over $40 million. But man, to land 5 years for this amount of money? Really surprised. Great job for Jacob deGrom. I personally was just kind of surprised by the contract.
Yeah, I was expecting something closer to like what Max Scherzer got last year from the Mets. Higher average annual value over a shorter period of time. The average annual value of this is 38 about. So that's still really high. Not as high as Scherzer's was, but still really about as high as we've ever seen. And to get 5 years out of it, a guaranteed 5 years, I think DeGrom did pretty well for himself. And I think that's probably just what the Rangers had to do to get him. I mean, if you're in the position of the Rangers, haven't been to the playoffs for a long time, certainly don't have, or at least aren't thought to have the supporting cast the Mets do, then you kind of have to, blow DeGrom away to get him. So it's not exactly the sort of deal I saw him signing, but I think it makes sense.
Oh man, Scott, I just realized I am salivating at the idea of Jacob deGrom versus Shohei Ohtani. That is going to be a lot of fun out there in the AL West. We did have a trade as well. Actually, before we get to the trade, we'll just mention on the Mets front, I know a lot of Mets fans, they feel it's doom and gloom right now. There are other elite pitchers out there. I know it hurts to see someone like Jacob deGrom leave the organization. He came up with them. That was the only team he played for. Apparently, they are very in on Justin Verlander right now. So if you can put together a Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander 1-2 punch, that is still absolutely fantastic. So we'll see where the Mets go.
I just said I like Verlander more in fantasy. So there you go. Yep.
Let's see. We did have a trade as well, Scott. Not nearly as big as a Jacob deGrom signing, but Colton Wong was traded over to the Seattle Mariners in exchange for Jesse Winker and Abraham Toro. And we'll just quickly talk about Colton Wong. I think he's a very valuable middle infielder, Scott, specifically in those 12-team roto leagues where you need that middle infield spot, especially, you know, 15-teamers as well, anything deeper than 12 teams. 251 batting average, 15 homers, 17 steals. He's a fine player. This is a negative park shift, though, and pretty drastically, too, going from Milwaukee to Seattle now. Your thoughts on Colton Wong?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, though, StatCast's expected home run number, which we cite often when players are traded. So Colton Wong actually hit 15 home runs this year. It was a career high. And StatCast said if he had played every game in Seattle, he also would have hit 15 home runs. And I feel like that stat has gotten better. I've noticed there's not the weird thing with Coors Field anymore where the Coors Field expected home run number is really low just because it's only measuring distance. It's mm-hmm. seems to be taking into, I mean, I haven't seen anything on this. I'm just going by, my own interpretation of what I'm seeing. It seems like it's taking into account other things more. So I'm not sure the park thing is going to be a big deal. Power is not really Colton Wong's game anyway. Like I said, the 15 home runs was a career high. He gives you a relevant number of steals, and maybe he's somebody who'll end up running a lot more with the rule changes. I agree. His value is mainly as a middle infield option in rotisserie leagues. So, you know, shallower people who play in shallower leagues, there's not much reason to care about Colton Wong, except maybe as a hitter to stream off the waiver wire every now and then. And yeah, I don't see a huge change in value for him. Might be a little more interesting for Jesse Winker, because he, you know, part of the reason we didn't like him last year is because he was going from Cincinnati to Seattle. That's a highly unfavorable park shift for a hitter. And now he goes back to a hitter-friendly park in Milwaukee. I think the biggest variable for a Jesse Winker rebound is health, even beyond the park thing. The park thing can only help, but I think Winker's bigger issue, the reason why he was such a disaster in his 1 year in Seattle, is because he was never really healthy. We found out after the year he was dealing with a knee injury, had surgery on the knee after the year. Also had surgery on his neck after the year ended. And, you know, if he's playing through an injury all year, it kind of makes sense that his exit velocity plummeted the way it did. You know, it wasn't one of those issues where, oh, new ball, He's not able to hit for power anymore. The exit velocity itself plummeted for Jesse Winker. And so it didn't seem like he was right, but he still walked a ton as he's always done. He was still close to a 950 OPS guy in 2021. I think there's rebound potential here for Jesse Winker. And like I said, going to Milwaukee, presuming they don't flip him again, because I saw that speculated out there that they were going to just flip Winker. But presuming they don't do that, I think he's kind of a sleeper. You know, in three outfielder leagues, there's still a chance he doesn't get drafted, but I'm a little more enthusiastic about drafting Winker than I was before this deal.
And we need all the outfield help we can get, Scott, in fantasy. So we will take a bounce back from Jesse Winker if you can get back on track.
I was also going to say there's a lot of like tangential stuff here that's interesting. You know, this wasn't a very big real life baseball story, but there's a lot more to talk about it for than with DeGrom, I feel like. For instance, Abraham Toro goes back to the Brewers in this deal along with Winker. And I presume he's going to be the favorite to start at second base for them. Of course, they also have Keston Hiura there, who they kind of moved to first base even before he began his struggles. But he played a little second base last year. I don't know why they couldn't give him starts there again. What's going on with the Brewers outfield? Because they just traded away Hunter Renfro. They have a lot of up-and-comers. Garrett Mitchell we saw last year. Sal Frelick is close. Joey Weimer is close. They got a lot of interesting pieces there. There will be a lot to monitor in spring training because of that. Obviously, Winker clogs it up a little more. It sounds like the Brewers have a lot of maneuvering still to do. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that we can have a good grasp of the situation yet, but certainly an interesting move, and we'll see where they go next.
My first thought, Scott, was that Jesse Winker will DH for the Brewers because he is a dreadful outfielder, but they also have Rowdy Tellez, who's not great at first base either, so I'm sure they want to get him some days at DH. I don't know at this point if Jesse Winker is a full-time player just because of all the injuries he's dealt with. You know, look, if he's hitting well, they're going to get him in the lineup. He's really bad against lefties too. But I do agree. I think there's some upside there. Very sneaky in five outfielder leagues, Jesse Winker.
He's never really been a full-time player because he's so bad against left-handers. Not that he sits against every left-hander. Ultimately, I think performance is going to answer it, right?
Yeah.
How much he plays. But I would expect going into the year, he's going to be more like a platoon bat for the Brewers.
Yeah. And maybe it's just wishful thinking, Scott. I just want him to be the DH so that we could still get guys like Garrett Mitchell and Sal Frelick everyday opportunities to play in the outfield for the Milwaukee Brewers, as well as Joey Weimer, who you mentioned earlier.
I think it might be Weimer.
Yeah.
W-I-E-M-E-R.
Yeah, and he's a very interesting prospect too. Lots of power, lots of speed. Strikes out quite a bit. Last point I wanted to make here, Scott. I think Abraham Toro likely to start at second base, maybe to start the season for the Brewers, but a name to remember. They have a prospect in their organization, Bryce Terang. And this past season in the minors, he hit .286, 13 homers, 34 steals. He's played some time in the outfield, at shortstop, at second base as well. So if they want to give him an opportunity, he played all of his games at AAA last season. I think he's going to be in the mix. So just a name to pay attention to and watch during spring training. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if he is the opening day second baseman for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yep. And there's Esteury Ruiz too, who has played, he's more of an outfielder now, but he's played some infield too and can run fast, put up huge numbers in the minors. I don't know if the power is really there for him, but he's another name to keep an eye on in the spring.
All right. First emergency podcast of the offseason is in the books again. Jacob DeGrom to the Texas Rangers on a 5-year deal. And then we had a lesser trade with Colton Wong going to the Seattle Mariners in exchange for Jesse Winker and Abraham Toro. We're going to wrap there. For Scott, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again on Tuesday, hopefully. Bye-bye.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here. And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.